もみょうほれんげきょう、なもみょうほれんげきょう、なもみょうほれんげきょう。Hi, friends. Thanks for being here. I hope you're in a good place, healthy, safe. After yesterday's video, not having the original book here with me to mark up and so forth, I went back and I went over what we talked about, and I added some annotations and so forth. You guys and this effort is helping make everything better. And yes, Melanie, that means you too. Not going to give it away, but Melanie's working hard, studying and going over materials with me. And she's pointing out, because she has a uniquely different way of reading and seeing things, that I may need to provide a little bit more context or information for different ways. I can't see every single way. I'm not fully enlightened. I'm working on it, just like you are, all of us. And I try to cover all the bases, but innumerable, incalculable, immeasurable are the different sentient minds in the world. So this is the benefit of Sangha. This is why I read every comment, every email, because you guys help me see what I have been studying for well over 40 years now, from different perspectives. And that helps all of us. That's how the Sangha works. So just a moment to say thank you to all of you. Today we have obtained that which we have never had before. This is the theme so far in the fourth chapter of the Lotus Sutra, and we continue with what we have not precisely looked for, now we have unexpectedly obtained. Right? We've talked about this. They haven't precisely looked for what? Enlightenment in this moment, in this lifetime. That's what Buddhism's been about all along. But they've been so corrupted by cultural imperatives, religious imperatives. Their biases were just so entrenched that even though they knew Shakyamuni's teaching word for word, right? Oral transmission, memorized. Just because you memorize something doesn't mean you deeply put it in your mind. Just like when we chant Daimoku to our mandala in the Butsudan, at our altar. Some of us don't even have altars yet, right? But certainly, if you have a mandala and it's within reach, use it. Because Nichiren understands our era, Mapo. We need all of the devices we can use so that we can immediately penetrate, because we're about IG. That's what we used to call it when I worked in a bicycle store. IG, immediate gratification. And this is a world of immediate gratification. People want to be gratified before they even get through asking the question. That's our world today. Don't feel bad. We're surrounded by it. It is the absolute perversion of samsara. We're so busy looking for it that we fail to concentrate. If we could just concentrate, but boom, it would just happen. Buddha is your mind's ability to be enlightened. So when things get in your way, or you're thinking, why isn't this happening? Or how do I do this better? All of those are samsaric thoughts. And you're putting them in your way. You're calling the monkey out, a specific monkey, and saying, here, obfuscate my Buddha. Yeah, I know you're not doing that, but you are. That's why the mandala, I say it over and over again, the myo and ho characters, focus in on them. If you're struggling understanding the teachings, focus on kyo. But find a focal point in that mandala, in the seven jewels. Pick a jewel, pick two jewels, and drive your eyesight into it. and send your Daimoku into it. Hear it reverberate from your mandala. I mean, just stupid concentration. Yeah? Single-mindedly. And what am I doing while I'm staring here? What am I doing? What am I doing? You're opening your Gohanzon mind, your Buddha eye. And suddenly, now your samsaric mind, well, I'm going to take over here. You'll notice things are shifting. Something just happened. Don't go there. When that happens, don't let the monkeys tickle. When that happens, be appreciative. Welcome, Buddha. When that happens, when you see that, what a lot of us old-timers call fusion with the mandala, it's actually fusion with the Gohanzon mind, right? That's the purpose of the Nichiren inscribed mandala. To force your senses to come in single-mindedly, all those skandhas, single-mindedly, boom, Buddha, Buddha, Buddha. So when something happens with your eyesight, with your hearing, whatever it is, maybe the mandala suddenly goes, woo, gets three-dimensional, whatever. Welcome it. Go, hi, Buddha. Hi, there's my Buddha mind. Let me stay in that. Let me look at that. Let me be in that. If those are the thoughts you need to have, then have them. But not, how long did it take to get here? Oops, you just left. Back in samsara. You gotta get serious. And the payoff, you'll find it's so much more easy to get into that mind place, that space, the next time, and the next time, and the next time. It's not every day. Sometimes I have a hard time with it too. But most days, I can sit down in front of my butsudan, and the moment I engage with my mandala, I don't mean just look at it. I mean, okay, here we go. I'm in the sky with the assembly of innumerable monks in the fourfold assembly and so on. And I'm looking, and I look at my mandala, and I look it over, and I go, there's Buddha, there's Shakyamuni, there's Tao, there's Myoho. That's my spot. From potential to instantiation. I want more potential Buddhahood to instantiate. That's what I go through. And then it's already happening. I haven't even chanted yet. And I feel the warmth tickle through me. And I start to chant. And there it is. And there it is. It's stronger and stronger. And then time goes by. I don't even have occasional, how long have I been here? Namo Myoho Rengekyo. Screw that. And then when I feel like I filled up my tank, or I hear myself start to mumble, that's no good. So then I end with some strong Daimoku, Daimoku Sansho. I thank that enlightenment, that Buddha eye, that Gohanzon mind. I thank Nichiren and Shakyamuni. And then I turn away from the butsudan and, oh yeah. I see this moment-to-moment saha world. I feel it. It's incredible. But you got to go there. It takes effort, right? Mental effort. This is training for our minds. Look at presence at the butsudan. It's basically a description of what I do every time I sit in front of my altar. So I offered it as maybe it would help you, but maybe you have a specific gosho that helps you connect. Right? whatever little ritual you have to perform, rather than just plopping yourself down with a bag of Cheetos and go, okay, I'm going to chant for 30 minutes. That's not serious, right? That's waiting to be given something. Well, there's plenty of religions you can go do that with. That ain't Buddhism. Buddhism is your mind, your hard work, your payoff. Yeah, nobody can mess with it. It's yours. To me, that's incredibly powerful. There's nothing else like it. All right. So what we had not previously looked for, now we have unexpectedly obtained. Whoa! Just as that poor son obtained inestimable treasures. It's kind of when I have a friend who would say, what was the word he always used for this? This kind of thing, vulgar or something like that. Anyway, I can't think of it. Not important. But really, to compare enlightenment with riches, how materialistic is that, yeah? So, this is why you don't hear these kind of things really repeated or quoted by Nichiren, right? Because it's, it's an example for people who are materialistic. But enlightenment is so far beyond that, right? World-honored one, Mahakashyapa continues. Now we have got the way and got the fruit, and in the faultless law, attained to clear vision. What is clear vision? The Buddha wisdom, or the Brahma conduct, the highest conduct, yeah? We for long, having kept the Buddha's pure commands, today, for the first time, obtain their fruit and reward. Just like when we focus on mandala. We can do it and do it and do it, you know, eat our Cheetos, have our glass of water. But then something happens and it clicks. Oh, now you're excited. Well, bring that excitement to your mandala every time. It's been there, waiting. Now we are really hearers of the sound, right? Shravakas, hearing the sound, the voice of Buddha, of Shakyamuni, but of Shakyamuni Buddha. They're hearing the Tathagata of the universe through this man who's attained it. They're hearing it, really hearing it. Should I say listening? Words, they're mutable, aren't they? We're hearers of the sound who cause all beings to hear the sound of the Buddha way, the hum of Tathagata, of the Buddha-ness, that is the cosmos, moment to moment to moment to moment to moment to moment. Be in it. Now we are really bodhisattvas who in all the worlds of universal realms of influence, 3,000 realms, men, maras, brahmas, universally by them, are worthy of reverence. The world-honored one, in his great compassion, by things which are rare, has compassion for and instructs and benefits us. Is this Shakyamuni Buddha? Sure, you could say that's a casual reading of this, but think a little deeper. This is the Tathagata, the Buddha nature, the engine of life, speaking to us. Can you hear it? Only if you open your ears, your ninth consciousness, then you'll hear it. And isn't that the voice you already have? Through countless kotas of kalpas, who could repay him this Tathagata. How do you demonstrate your appreciation for? This is why I say when that happens, when that mind, that Gohonzon mind opens, your Buddha eye opens at your Butsudan with the mandala, and you're suddenly not sure what to do, well, keep chanting. And if any kind of language happens to appear in your mind, make it a sense of appreciation. Offer it up. Stop trying to grab something out of it and just like coming out from the water when you've gotten too deep and you need that breath of air. When you come out of that water, do you think about what you're going to do next? No. Your body's like, just breathe. Right? That's Buddha-ness. Feel that. Appreciate it. Because it's yours. Service by hands and feet, homage with the head, all kinds of offerings are all unable to repay him. They're just formalities, right? If one bore him on one's head, I don't see where that footnote is, but if one bore him on one's head, oh, there it is, perhaps as a crown, Buddha sitting on a lotus blossom on your head. If one bore one on one's head or carried him on one's shoulders through kalpas numerous as the sands of the Ganges. Oh, man, I wouldn't last. Or revered him with one's whole mind, which is what we're doing when we chant, or with the best of food or garments or countless value, and all kinds of bed things, or every sort of medicament, or with ox head sandalwood and all kinds of jewels, erected stupas and monasteries, all material things, or carpeted the ground with precious garments, with such things as these, to pay homage through kalpas as the sands of the Ganges, yet one would be unable to repay. Right? It's silly. Because Buddha-ness is all of those things, right now, moment to moment. It's the experience, the engagement with the cosmos of things. You can't repay it with chunks of it. Yeah. The only way you can repay Buddha-ness is by being in Buddha-ness. That's equal. That's homage. That's appropriate. That's the goal. Buddhas rarely appear with their infinite and boundless, inconceivable, great transcendental powers. They don't usually take form as a human being because they're not. They, Buddhas, are you and I and me and her and them, everything. They are faultless and effortless, the kings of the law who are able, for inferior minds, patiently to abide their time in this matter, and for common folk attached to externals, materialism, to teach as is befitting. Buddhas in the law attain to supreme power. What is power? Not materialistic power, not money power, not political power. Cosmos power. Yeah, black hole? Piff. Quasar? Piff. I see all of it. I am with all of it. I am in all of it. I am of it. I am it. Namo myoho renge kyo. Knowing all living beings with their various desires and pleasures and their powers, so according to their capacities, by innumerable parables, they teach the law to them. That's our bodhisattva imperative, isn't it? According as all living beings in the past have planted good roots, the Buddhas, knowing the mature and the immature, and taking account of each, discriminating and understanding in the one vehicle as may be befitting, they teach the three. Some aren't ready. Some for the teaching of the one vehicle would be turned off, maybe even reject it and resent it, cutting themselves off from their potential Buddhahood. As bodhisattvas, we have to be careful that we don't enable that to occur. So we take our time with some people. We're in a time now, though, in Mapo, where the people who aren't easily catching on and those who seem to be easily catching on but maybe are just knowing the words and not really performing, along with those who are naturally able, are all intermingling and asking each other questions. And they can, yeah, humans are kind of ego-based. So I've seen it before. You get a group together and they start to attack each other. And then the people that aren't quite as quick to understand start feeling lesser and bad about themselves. What? We don't want that. And so as bodhisattvas, I implore you, don't become one of those. It's hard. It's hard. You want to correct people, right? Because you're in this to help others. That's bodhisattva. But now you have to mature yourself. Understand that to help others is to teach the Buddha's teachings, not the Sylvain teaching, the Bob teaching, the John teaching, the Madeline teaching. We share of ourselves, yeah, but there needs to be a clear division between this is what I did. I don't know if that's helpful to you or not. Always related to something from the Lotus, from Nichiren, a quote, a story, a parable. Use the teachings to teach, which means you have to get quite well-versed in the teachings. Then it'll just come naturally to you. It doesn't have to be verbatim, but you need to be able to teach people so that their focus on the teaching isn't you. It's Nichiren, it's Shakyamuni, it's Zhiyi, Dengyo, right? It's the scholarship of Buddhism that they're wrestling with, inculcating. Right? Madeline, she's a great gal. She knows so much. What, is she your guru? No. She's just very advanced, and she helps me to find in Nichiren's Gosho or in the Lotus Sutra or in Shakyamuni's teachings things that relate directly to what I'm experiencing. I'm learning Buddhist teaching through this emissary, this bodhisattva. That's appropriate. Right? This is where a lot of groups go off the rails. Right? There are tons of worshipers of persons out there, cults of personality. Do you know the quote I'm about to read to you? Or from memory? Follow the law, not the person. The minute you find yourself being enthralled with a person, you can be grateful for them, absolutely. But understand that whatever measure of greatness you give a person, that measure is calculated from the law, the teaching, not the person. Just as we are all incredibly grateful for Nichiren, look at what he's given us. What has he given us? Nichiren? Well, as an example, a mentor, certainly. But all of it through the teachings of the Lotus Sutra, the scholarship of the Lotus Sutra, the teachings of the Tathagata, which it's in there somewhere. So let me close with this this annotation here, and then we'll move on to chapter 5, the parable of the herbs. I struggled a bit with that one when I first started. A lot of people do. But I think with my annotations and our reading here, we'll figure it out. So for Nichiren, these early chapters of the Lotus Sutra were not simply introducing the Buddha vehicle to the student monks of the Shravaka, Pratyeka Buddha, and pre-Lotus Bodhisattva vehicles. The Buddha realm, the vehicle and experience, is being made accessible via the Lotus Sutra to all other realms or worlds. I was asked about that in an email recently. It may have been a comment online. And thereby equally innate and inherent in all living beings in any life state via their willing and seeking minds. So that's my way of cleverly not saying single-minded again. But these early chapters of the Lotus Sutra for Nichiren certainly, and should for us, lay that groundwork that, oh, this is a pre-existing condition. I love that term because we all associate it to our health. Well, think about it as our mental health. Yeah? All right. I hope I helped you aspire for something. Maybe I sparked your, let me get at that butsudan again today. Let me approach my daimoku differently today. Let me change my mind. I hope I did a little bit of that. I want you all to succeed wildly. I want you all to be able to get in the comments and go, wow, I experienced this today, and holy crap, you were so right. And, right? I want to see you succeed. I'm not looking for pats on the back. Don't let it sound like that. That's what this resource is all about. For me, that's why I do the podcasts, the audio version of these videos. I have all kinds of printable information on threefoldlotus.com. You know where all the links are below. To not only inspire you, but to give you tools to inspire others. And you guys help me hone those tools too. So thank you. Thank you for your support in helping me make this a better, more complete resource, as well as, a lot of you, several of you are able to supply donations to help me stay afloat and keep doing this. How important is that? Namo Myo Renge Kyo. So with all my gratitude, thank you for being here. Thank you for your practice. Take care of yourselves, take care of your health, and I'll see you in the next one, all right? Bye for now.